We're happy that you can all be with us this morning, and we thank God for your presence and your interest in spiritual things, and we want to encourage you in your life as you seek to follow Jesus Christ, and we want to try to do everything according to the Bible. We want to be pleasing to God, and so it is our goal to do things as the Bible teaches and to study the Bible to find out what the will of God is for our lives today. And I appreciate it when you listen to the lesson. And it is my effort is to give Bible for everything that is said and that is taught. And for you to come to me and let me know if there is something that I say or something that I teach that isn't what the Bible says or what the Bible teaches. Please let me know that. But we're happy for you to be here, and we invite you to open your Bible and follow as we look into God's Word this morning. And we're happy to have Lorena Carnegie with us. She has moved here from Nampa, Idaho. And she is the grandmother of Molly Williams. So we want to welcome Lorena this morning to Burien here. We're happy to have the opportunity to get acquainted and meet her. And the Banks family, they are in Oregon again this week. They are supposed to be coming home maybe later tonight. And Greg and Lori Sism, we think about them. They had a lot of pressure to, get a rental house repaired to get it ready to sell, and so they have been really under a lot of stress getting that done and a deadline. So we want to be thinking of Greg and Lori. We miss them, and I would encourage you to give them your encouragement and your prayers and things, that they can be able to get all of that taken care of and be back with us soon. This morning we want to look at this subject from the Bible, Jesus, the answer to racism, and find out and see what the solution to this is as the Bible presents and the Bible shows how this problem that is a problem in our world today still, it can be what the solution to this is. Not just talk about the problem, but to look and see what is the solution to the problem. And whenever we think about the term racism, the first thing that we should try to do is to define what it means. And generally, racism is defined to mean prejudice or discrimination that is directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior or the other one inferior. And secondly, that it is the belief that is involved with this, that members of each race tend to possess certain characteristics, abilities that distinguish it as inferior or superior to another race or races. And we said, I do not want to suggest that there is anyone here that is following this or believing this. But we do want to see what the Bible says about this. When we think about this, the first reaction that many would perhaps have is, isn't this now behind us? Isn't this something that has been solved long ago? Why do we need to be talking about this still today? We thought this has all been resolved. When we look at this, though, we see that there are still issues that this continues to be a problem, that there is evidence that this is not completely all resolved. And so when we look at the fact that in many cities today still, there are certain neighborhoods that are made up largely of one particular ethnic group or another, and that sometimes these reflect a poverty or a economic circumstance that is different than other sections of the community. And it can be very noticeable. It can be very poverty-stricken or other problems associated with that. Sometimes the schools are going to reflect that division that exists in the ethnic divisions of society, because those who live in those neighborhoods, the schools, tend to follow that same set of circumstances. And children, as they are beginning life and beginning their education, these sometimes can sort of mold people into a way of thinking or attitudes that can be formed at a very early age. There's problems with law enforcement. As we have seen in recent years, that there has been a lot of attention drawn to the fact of shootings of different types within law enforcement, and a reaction of that within our society that has been in the news, that has created a lot of a storm of controversy surrounding these types of incidents. And there are thoughts on either side about it. But I think what more than anything is a serious thing to be considered is the attitudes that are formed, that people have from an early age. Perhaps sometimes it comes through our families. As we are raised and brought up, we can develop certain attitudes that we might not even be fully aware that there are some sort of remnants, we might say, of the thinking that I have said falls into the category of what we would say racist attitudes. And it can be very subtle sometimes. We might not even be aware that we might have some of these thinking, some of these thoughts in our minds as we think about different groups of people in our society. So in spite of the progress that has been made, certainly there has been a lot of great progress that has been made in this area in our lifetimes, there are still serious issues that still remain. That one of the best things for us is to look into the Bible and see, how does the Bible give a solution? What does the Bible teach? Does the Bible address this? And the fact is, the Bible does address this subject. And there's hope to be found in that, because when there is a problem, the Bible gives a solution. And one of the purposes of our study the last few weeks has been to point out the fact that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to every problem, really, that is in the world today. That if you have a problem in your life, I believe Jesus will provide the solution to that in one way or another. That if we draw close to Christ and we learn from Him how to live our lives, we're going to find the solutions to each of these problems that exist. So it is hopeful that if there is a problem, we can go into the Bible and we can find the solution to it. Now, sometimes when we listen to the news media, they focus on the problem and they will talk about how terrible the situation and all of the problems that comes from it. But what I want us to do is to see that the Bible gives us hope. The Bible focuses not on the problem, it focuses on the solution to the problem. And what we can do, each one of us, to make sure that we have the proper attitudes and that we conduct ourselves in a way that would bring about solution on a personal level to any of these problems that might still be remaining. Now, we do see that there is also a spiritual segregation that often has happened as a result of other issues pertaining to cultural differences, ethnic differences in our society. That there are groups who meet, and sometimes it is by choice, in a segregated congregations so that you might have people of one ethnic group who have the same beliefs, basically, according to the Bible, and yet they choose to worship in a cultural difference from one another. And that oftentimes has been a problem, and that is something that keeps people separated and not close to one another and experiencing really the type of unity that God would like for us to have within his body, the church. And it has been stated that 11 o'clock Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America. So there are places within our society still today that when you go to a worship service on a Sunday, you find that it is still very segregated into different cultural backgrounds and divisions of people choosing to worship with one another in their own cultural differences. Some churches do this by choice, not by any type of law enforcement or saying that certain groups are not welcome there. It isn't like that, even though it might have been in years past, but still choosing to worship in separate groups. But as I say, there's hope because Christ is able to change the hearts of people. And whenever we think about any problem that there is in society, the hope is that Jesus is able to change the hearts of people. And through that, the solution to this can be found. So we want to focus on the solution this morning. As we do that, we look into God's Word and we see that this is not a new problem. This is not something that is only begun in modern times. The problem of racism. Because it existed in the New Testament. And it is addressed in the Bible as a problem and pointing out how it can be solved. We find that Jesus, in John chapter 4, went into the country of Samaria and sat down by the well of Samaria. And there was a woman of Samaria that came to draw water. And Jesus just asked her to give him a drink of water. And she looked at Jesus as if she was shocked that he would ask her that question. And she made the statement there in John 4 and verse 9. She said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So we see from that statement and that comment that she made there that there was a racial division, a separation that existed among the Jews and the Samaritans there in the first century. And Jesus was going into that area as if he cared about these Samaritan people and spoke to this woman and developed into a conversation with her and helped to lead her to see that he was the Christ. But that problem is nothing new. It existed back in those days, and it is still an issue in our world today. The Bible tells us the solution to this problem. And so we want to look into the Bible and begin to see some of the answers to the problems of racial division that we find in God's Word. To see that, we begin to go back to the very beginning of the creation in Genesis chapter 1. Where we read in the very beginning of the creation that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The Bible shows from the very beginning that man is created in the image of God. We find that as a result of this, the Bible teaches that every human being deserves a certain level of respect. It does not matter what the color of skin, what the background of the individual or the cultural background and differences might be, every human being is created in the image of God, and the result of that, they deserve a certain amount of respect. We see that in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says here that whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. This indicates then that if you take the life of a human being, that the penalty for that is your life would be forfeited. And that indicates that no matter who the person is, they deserve that respect because they are created in the image of God. In the book of James, it says that, pointing out the use of the tongue, that it is wrong for us to bless God with the tongue, but then to curse man who is made in the likeness of God. In James chapter 3 and verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So once again, it is pointing out the fact that every human being deserves a level of respect because they are made in the image of God. Now, when we go back then to Genesis chapter 3, the statement is made there at the time of the fall of the first sin that came into the world. It said that Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And when we understand that, when we think about the implication of that, that Eve was the mother of all living, it goes to show that every person traces their origin back to Adam and Eve. Now, the question is often brought up, why do we have all of the different races? Why do we have the different cultural backgrounds? Why are there the different skin colors and all of the differences? You know, we don't always have the answer to that question given to us in the Bible. The Bible itself acknowledges the fact that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Those things that He has revealed are for us and our children. In other words, there are some questions that God did not reveal always the answer to us. But we are told that all human beings, the mother is Eve. So all races came through Adam and Eve. How they came about to be of the different nations, we aren't all told all the answers to those questions. But God had a purpose behind it. We can be sure of that. And that there is good to be found in it. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul is in the city of Athens here, and he was talking to the men of Athens about the true and living God. And he said, God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life and breath and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. It says that God made of one all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. So when we think about this, really there are no races. It isn't really correct to refer to the different races, because according to the Bible, there is only one race, and that's the human race. There are different ethnic groups, there are different cultural groups, but there is all of one that God made of all nations to dwell on the face of the earth, and He has pointed the boundaries of those nations. We see those nations coming into existence after the flood of Noah, that there is some recognition of that there in the book of Genesis. and the Tower of Babel and the spreading of the people and the different languages that came about from that time. But the Bible still makes it clear that God made them all one from the beginning, and that Eve is the mother of them all. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we see that God sent His Son into the world that the world might be saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for all men and was raised from the dead. Now, we come to the book of Acts, and something very significant takes place in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10 of the book of Acts, Peter was sent to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile. In order for this to happen, God sent him several visions. And there was this belief among the Jews that goes back into the Old Testament that God had chosen the Jewish people, that they were to remain separate in their identity from the Gentiles. And it had come to the point that they would not associate with them. They would not go into their homes and eat a meal with them. Things of that nature. So God gave him some visions. And during this time, Cornelius was praying to God. And God sent an angel, and he arranged for Peter to be brought to his home. So Peter came eventually in obedience to the will of God. And he makes the statement here. He said that God has shown to me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And as he goes into the house of Cornelius, and they are asking about welcoming into their home and thanking him that he has come, he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." So in other words, God is absolutely impartial with all people. God wants all people to be saved. He offers salvation. And those who fear God and work righteousness are acceptable to God. In Acts chapter 11, we see that Peter, when he arrived back in Jerusalem, he was confronted by some of the other apostles and brethren there. And they asked him about this. "Why did you go into the house of a Gentile, uncircumcised, and eat with them?" Well, he explained to them. He went back through and explained that God had given them these visions, directed him that he was to go to this house of Cornelius. And when he came there, he said the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, fell on them as it fell on us at the beginning. And he said, "I remembered the word of the Lord." He said, "John indeed baptized with water. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" Isn't that a great question that Peter asked there? And how would you answer that question? How would anybody answer that question? Who was I to withstand God? There might be some people in our society still today, and there may not be anyone here today who would have this thought even in your mind. There might be those, though, in our society still today who, even after hearing those verses that I have already presented this morning, their attitude and response would be, "You know what? I don't believe what you're saying is true." And that may be one way of explaining it, but I don't agree with that interpretation. So there might be some individuals who would still hold to the belief that this cannot be meaning that we should not have any racial prejudice or any racial feelings of one to another in our society today. But I would say the question, the answer to that question, the same as was given to Peter, who was I to withstand God? That if God has put this out and He has made it so clear that His will is made known, that He does not want to have any divisions, any separation of one cultural group to another, that in the eyes of God, everyone is equal. They are all made in the image of God. Then that person would have to answer that same question. Who am I? Who are you to withstand God when it comes to this that God has spoken? In Luke chapter 10, Jesus was asked the question, what is the great commandment in the law? And you know that His response was to love God with all of the heart, the soul, and the mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He gave a parable here of the man going down the road to Jericho, and he was beaten by the side of the road and left for dead. And a Samaritan came by and helped him and took him to the inn and made sure that he was cared for. And Jesus said, well, who was the neighbor to this man who was lying by the road? And even the lawyer answered the question and he said, well, he who was helpful to him, he who helped him in his need was the neighbor to that man. When we look at the gospel, the appeal of the gospel that is made known in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. It should be obvious from this that God wants all people to be saved, to be given the opportunity. The offer of salvation is made available to all men. And that it is Jesus' desire for all men to be able to share in heaven, in the Father's house, when eternity comes. And He said in John 14 and verse 2, that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So God desires, Jesus desires for all men to be able to have the opportunity to be saved. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, we see that the Lord Jesus has broken down the middle wall of separation. He said, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself of one, of two, one new man, thus making peace. Now, of course, He's referring there to the Jew and the Gentile, and the barrier that existed by the Old Covenant, the Law of Moses. He has broken that down and brought them and reconciled them together in one body through the cross. In John 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus prayed for unity of His followers. He said, neither do I pray for them, these alone, but for also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. As a matter of fact, whenever there is racial segregation, racial division, racial prejudice that exists, especially among the followers of Jesus, it is a great hindrance of the cause of Christ in the world. If the followers of Jesus are not united behind one another and not having any bonds of separation. Now, in order for this to happen, there are certain attitudes and understandings that we all have to share in common. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And that existence and practice of unity really depends a great deal on those attitudes of patience and long-suffering and forgiveness and striving and reaching out to preserve oneness among the followers of Christ. And we can see then that Jesus is the answer to the problem of racial separation, racial segregation and division. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 through 28 is another key passage. He said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Well, the scripture then is very clear about how God feels towards the various different cultural ethnic groups that exist in the world today. As a matter of fact, we can only assume that there is a uniqueness, there is talents, there is blessings to be found of God creating various groups, that each one has something to offer, something that is beneficial to the human race, and that there is absolutely no reason for there to be any feeling of animosity or superiority of one to the other, but there should be a commonness that we are all made in the image of God, and we can all benefit from drawing close and being one, if we possibly can, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we put this into practice? Because we find that in spite of all things that the Bible says about this, that there are still challenges that comes up when people from different backgrounds come together. There is inevitably issues and challenges that come out of this. Now, how do we deal with those? Well, first of all, we need to each examine ourselves, I believe. Because whether we like to admit it or not, we all have some biases. Some of them we might not even be aware of. That we have grown up with these, it's been perhaps programmed into our thinking. It might not even be something that is a conscious thing that we have. Yet we need to examine ourselves. Look into our hearts and ask ourselves honestly the question, is there some reservations that I might have to those of a different cultural background, that I might have certain thinking about this that could hinder the acceptance of one another, of really reaching out to become close and to welcome that person into my home and to develop the friendships with that type of differences that might exist. So we need to look into our own hearts. It is good for us to be able to talk about it. As I said before, there are sometimes people who would maybe get upset that it was even talked about. They say, "Well, why are you bringing this up? This is just going to stir up problems. It's better to just be left unsaid." But I believe that it is something that we should be able to talk about And how can we find the solution, the best solution to this problem? That all people are one. All people are created by God. When I say the proper setting, I am talking about that we need to be able to talk about it face to face. And when it comes to that, I think people sometimes have a tendency to post things on Facebook that can actually be very harmful. There can be comments that are made that, once stated, it's hard to take it back. It does a lot of harm if we are not careful what we put onto social media. But in a proper setting, to be able to sit down and talk about it and say, how can we improve in these areas? What can we each do? Be willing to open doors like Peter did. See, Peter was willing to open the door. He was to go into the home of the Gentile and to baptize them into Christ. Now, even Peter had struggles with this, as we later see that when he came to Antioch in Galatians chapter 2, he backtracked and did the very thing that he said he wasn't going to do earlier, because it says there in Galatians chapter 2, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." So we see that Peter, who knew the truth and was the one who preached on the day of Pentecost that all men would be saved, and that went to the home of Cornelius, he found himself in a situation where the pressure of his own brethren, he caved in under that pressure and withdrew himself. He had been eating, you see, with the Gentiles up to that point. They had been getting along fine. And yet the other contingency from Jerusalem showed up. Some of the leading brethren from the Jews in Jerusalem. And Peter thought, oh no, what am I going to do now? Because what are they going to think? So he got up from the table and left and went over and sat with the other side. And Paul went over and confronted him a little bit later and said, "Peter, you're being a hypocrite." He told him that to his face and corrected him. So it just goes to show that sometimes, even though a person knows in their heart the right thing, sometimes people are imperfect and they fail to do the right thing. So what I'm saying is that there's still going to be problems. There's still going to be challenges. And that each one of us, if we aren't careful, find ourselves in a situation that we might say something unintentionally that would come across the wrong way to the other person, that might make them feel uncomfortable, or that might make them think that we were saying it in a derogatory way, that it never even occurred to us. So we might be insensitive. We might not be racially prejudiced, but we might be racially insensitive to the understanding that, oh, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that the way that I said it, because that could have been taken to mean something else. And that wasn't what I was meaning to say. So we need to be careful and to kind of go the extra mile of trying to be understanding and sympathetic and to make the point known that we're striving to practice the kind of faith that Jesus practiced and teaches his people to be. Paul said that we are to reach out to others across cultural backgrounds. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." Well, brings out the fact that we need to, you know, not look at people as what is their background, what is their identity. They're a human being made in the image of God. They're my brother in Christ. And to not think of it in a way that I am making a special effort because they are from a different background, just be able to look at it as if we are all one, created by God. But we understand that there are going to be challenges, but we each need to have a Christ-like attitude. So Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to this problem in our world today. And that it begins on a personal level with each of us striving to have the attitude of Christ in our hearts to all men. We're going to stand and sing the invitation of Jesus this morning. If you are here and you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, we hope that you'll respond this morning to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Christ, that you truly might be identified in your life as one of His disciples and receive the blessings that He has provided for us. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.
In vain.